In him we found rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Can open your Bibles this evening to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'd like to read just a couple of verses there this evening for a message. And while you're going there, I'd like to read you this story that I came across today as we were preparing. As I was preparing, it says, one day the devil, he gathered his assistants to discuss the most effective method of destroying the means of people's lives. Imagine this gathering together. The devil and his assistants together to discuss the most effective method of destroying the meaning of people's lives. One suggested, tell them there is no God. Be a pretty good suggestion, he thought. Satan thought, Another one said, tell them there are no consequences to their actions. I believe that's, he uses that tactic a lot. Still, the devil wasn't sure. A third person responded and said, or proposed, to tell them they have strayed so far from the right path, they will never be able to change. The devil replied, such things will not matter to them. I think we should simply tell them there is still plenty of time. I think we should tell them they still have plenty of time. Reminded me of the words of Song of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. The devil would love to have us believe that we still have plenty of time. The Bible tells us that it's appointed on a man once to die and then the judgment. There is a time set. We don't know what that time is. We don't know when it is. But the devil wants you to believe that you have all the time in the world. That we might make them believe that you still have plenty of time. Time is the wisest of all counselors. Know the value of time. Know the value of time here this evening. It's valuable. Snatch, seize, and enjoy every minute of it. Time flees, but remember, you are the navigator of your time. You are the navigator of your time. I'm sure that probably all of you have heard this before. You have a gravestone. You have the birth date when somebody dies. You have the birth date and you have the death date. And while the dates really aren't that important, it's the dash between the dates. It's what you do with the time that God gives you that makes all the difference. Yes, the devil would love to make us think that we have all the time in the world. Well, this evening, I'd like to talk to you about time. I'd like to talk to you about restoring balance to busy lives. Restoring balance to busy lives. We're busy people, are we not? We're busy. We go and we go and we go. And time just keeps flying by. Well, I think Solomon, the wisest man, as we know, has some things to say about our time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you're there, verses 4 to 6, says this. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Then he says, verse 6, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. I believe Solomon here says there needs to be a balance between what we might call a workaholic and a lazy fool. There's to be a balance between the two. He says it's better to have only one handful than to have both full and have a maxed out life. And I wonder this evening, how many of us are trying to do life with both hands full? We're busy. We're busy people. So how do we find this balance here this evening? And so this evening, I'd like to talk to you about inserting margin into your life. Margin into your life. What do I mean by margin? I'd like to give you several definition of this word margin that we want to think about here this evening. When I think about margin is an amount that is available beyond what is actually needed. An amount that's available beyond what is actually needed. Well, some of you probably here this evening saying that you have no extra. Maybe no extra finances at the end of the month. Or maybe no extra time beyond what is actually needed. But I submit to you this evening that probably all of us find time and money to do and buy the things that we really want. Don't we? An amount that is available beyond what is actually needed. Margin is the space between your load and your limit. Margin is a space that is between your load and your limit. Our load is being those responsibilities that are ours and our limit to actually carry it out. We have limitations this evening as human beings. We are not God. And so we're limited. We have limited things that we can do. And if I had to guess, there are probably some of you here this evening that have exceeded your limits. Some of you may have exceeded your limits. And this causes burnout. It causes overload. And we hear it a lot in our world today. But margin is the space that guarantees sustainability. And it's in this space where healing takes place, where our batteries get recharged. It's where relationships are nourished. And it is where wisdom is found because we have time to think. So many people have little time to think. Without margin in our lives, both rest and contemplation are but theoretical concepts, unaffordable and unrealistic. And so we need to have margin in our lives. Proverbs 21, verse 10 says, in the NIV version, it says, in the house of the wise are stores. In the house of the wise are stores, meaning there's extras, there's provisions, stuff in the cupboard, if you will. But a foolish man, he spendeth it all. A wise person lives with margin. There's always some extras. But a foolish person lives with no margin, no extra, nothing in the cupboard. There's nothing set aside. And this evening, I submit to you that margin, I believe, is being robbed in the 21st century. We have so much telling us that progress is going to help us. We have so many gadgets and so much accessibility, so much information and so many conveniences. The world is telling us the more that you have and the more that you know, the better off you will be. And it's not true. All this stuff is actually hurting our society. Things like our social environment, our spiritual environment, and even our moral environment. It's being torn apart. today by all this stuff that is actually promising progress in our world. Progress says that we will have more time on our hands. We will have to work less because we have all these time-saving devices. But it's not true. We actually spend more time doing the things that progress said would actually save us time. And so we are busy people. Restoring balance to busy lives. So I have something that I'd like to do this evening, something a little different. I need somebody to help me, preferably a young girl. Would there be, I have a little demonstration that I'd like to do, and I need some help. Could I interest a young girl to come, a young child that was up here maybe in the children's meeting, to come and help me? Anybody interested? Could I interest somebody? Please. No takers. No young girls. He's not a girl. All right. Renessa. Please. All right, we got a girl. I think we ought to give her a hand. God bless you. All right, I need you to come up here. Okay, I need you to just stand right here, and you can face the crowd. And my task for you is to hold this. I know it's a brick, but we're going to call it a rock. So what I want you to do is just stand there and look pretty. You can watch the audience and hold the rock for a minute, okay? Can you do that? All right. Have a little patience. I'll be with you soon. Restoring balance to busy lives. I'd like to give you several things that will happen when we have no margin in our lives. And this isn't an all-inclusive message this evening. But I believe as if I live as a fool and have no margin, then I believe there will be an increase of stress in my life. If I have no margin, I believe there will be an increase of stress in my life. And again, I think I already mentioned this. One of the most common phrases in our complaints that we hear today is that I'm overloaded. There's just not enough hours in a day. I can't seem to catch up. We're just too busy. Young people, you're busy people, right? I mean, I have teenagers at home, and I don't know when they were in school, man, they're busy. They're running, and they're going, busy. So many activities. So what are some of these causes of overload, what are some of the causes of this stress that we face today? I already mentioned too many activities, too many choices, too many changes in life. We are living in an information overload today. Too much work. Too much debt, too much worry, too much accessibility in life. The pace of life, the speed of life seems to be going faster and faster in life, doesn't it? And I believe this evening some people are prone to more stress than others. But what is stress? When we talk about stress here this evening, stress is a situation or a circumstance which arouses anxiety within a person. That's stress. You ever deal with stress in your life? Anxiety, or a situation, or a circumstances, or a circumstance which you can't control the outcome. Stress produces bad things. Emotional stress produces physical stress. Stress lowers resistance to germ. Causes headaches, ulcers, back pain, high blood pressure, heart attacks, fatigue. And we're even more prone to accidents if we're stressed out people, right? That's what happens when we're stressed out. And some of you are probably saying, well, how can I get rid of my stress? Well, this message this evening is not about how you can get maybe rid of your stress. But I think maybe it can help us to understand why we are always troubled. Why we are always troubles. So what do we need to do? Proverbs 21, verse 20 says that a fool spendeth all that he has. There will definitely be an increase of stress when we have no margin in our life. So I just want to check up on you. Are you okay? You're all right? Is it getting heavier? Okay, you're good, good. I'll be back soon. The second thing that will happen if we have no margin in our life is that we will enjoy life less. I think we would enjoy life less if we have no margin in our life. Your job will become drudgery. The people you love the most will more than likely become a pain rather than a blessing. Ministry will often become a drain rather than a joy. When there is no margin in your life, you will miss the joys of life. There could be roses all around you, but you don't have enough time to even smell the roses. You will definitely enjoy life less if there's no margin in your life. Is it okay? Okay, good. I'll be with you soon. And thirdly, if we have no margin in our life, you will become a selfish person. You will become self-focused. So if I ask you a question this evening, if you have no financial margin in your life, you think you would be a generous person or a stingy person? Or if your calendar is full to the brim, do you think you'd be generous with your time, or are you stingy with your time? Because you have so many meetings, so many appointments, so many deadlines to make, you don't have time for other people. You ever meet someone that just doesn't have the time of the day for you? These kinds of people are discouraging. And so you would become a selfish person if you don't have margin in your life. And a fourth thing that will happen if we have no margin, our relationships will suffer. Our relationships would suffer. How well we know that relationships take time and effort, but if we are constantly living life to the fullest, our relationships will suffer. Just the same, we need oxygen to live. We need water to swim. We need margin, I believe, in our lives for our relationships to survive. For relationships to survive. So you've been holding that rock a while. Is it getting a little heavier? A little bit. You're about ready to go sit down? Probably. Whenever I say it, right? So I'd like you to just listen carefully. Just throw it down. Go ahead. Yep, throw it. Yep. All right. You may go back. Thank you. I think too often, this is how we treat our relationships, our families, and even our friends. We tell them to just hang on a little longer. I'll soon stop working so much. I'll get it together soon. And the one holding the rock says, all right, okay. And because they love you and they care about you, they continue to carry the rock. And once in a while, oh man, I forgot something. I really messed this up. Oh my, I'm going to have to come out here now. Oh man, I forgot to give you this. I really needed to give you this. Yes, I forgot all about this. Here you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I needed to give you that bouquet of flowers. So where was I at? Oh my, I messed that up. Okay. But once in a while, we might say, man, I care about you. Man, I love you. You're an awesome person. Here are some flowers, right? It was important that I gave her the flowers. Here are some flowers. Thank you for waiting and being patient. Keep carrying the rock, though. I will get to you soon. And we continue to live our lives the same way for years and years, and we never change. We never change. We expect our families. We expect our spouse, even our children, our friends. We even expect God to continue to carry the rock. That sound that you just heard when she dropped the rock, I believe is what a marginless marriage sounds like when we have no margin. A marriage sounds like when we have no margin. Or relationship, any relationship. After so many years, eventually the load gets too heavy to bear. And they say, that's enough. And they can't take it anymore. And boom. Same thing happens in a friendship, when the one friend always gives the other friend the load to carry. It's a description of how a marginless person treats other people. Flowers probably won't change it, but you can change it. You can change. God gives us the grace to be the people that you and I ought to be. This evening, I'd like to give you just a few ideas of ways to insert margin into your life. A few suggestions in order, or for you, to insert margin into your life. Number one is to give God control of your time. Give God control of your time. You ever stop to think about how busy your life is? We live in a fast-paced world where we go, go, go. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17 tells us to redeem the time. This means to make the best use of the time that God gives us. Make best use of the opportunities that God gives us. And I think that you and I, we need to just stop and take inventory of how we spend our time. Time is special. And we probably don't even realize how special time is until we no longer have it. Time to do the things that are really important. Too many people regret spending their time on the wrong things in life. They come to the end of life and they wish like crazy they would have some time to spend with the people that they love the most. Or someone close to us passes away and we no longer have time to do the most important things. Time is a special thing. I think there's too much time wasted doing things unnecessary. Too much time given to work. Too much time surfing the internet, playing video games, watching videos, YouTube, things that are not uplifting and pleasing to God. Movies that are not fit for Christians to watch. And we don't spend enough time with our families. This evening, I ask you to ask God to help you prioritize the things that are most important. Something that I often challenged people to do, I encourage you to take a list and write on that list the things that are important to you. So, of course, you would want to put God on there. You would want to put work. It's probably important to you, maybe school, maybe a hobby. The things that are important to you. And just be honest with God. Write them down. Just number them off. That's homework for you. And then be honest between you and God and just number them, 1 through 8 or however many you have written down, and be honest. And what are the things that are most important to you? I think something that every family needs to do is to consider and discuss in some clear guidelines with internet, social media, and the use of it in the home. Consider how social media, technology, internet, and all the electronic gadgets are harming your family time. I wanted to talk to you about this. There's a book that's titled, and maybe you've read it, maybe you've read this book, maybe you heard of this book. It's titled Digital Cocaine. It's from a secular perspective. It's a good read. I enjoyed reading the book. But he talks in this book about the effects that digital addiction has on the brain. And it's quite appalling to me. He says that this addiction, digital addiction, takes place in the same area of the brain as marijuana, cocaine, technology, no matter what it is. It all takes place in the same area of the brain. All these devices, electronic devices, are extremely addicting. They produce a chemical in the brain called dopamine. And dopamine is what controls pleasure in the body. And the reason we get addicted is because we enjoy things too much. A drug addict or technology, addicted to technology, takes part in the same area of the brain. That's amazing to me. In fact, they show, I saw pictures of the brain of someone that's addicted to a digital addiction. Actually does more harm to the brain than marijuana or weed, drugs. It's astounding to me. We get addicted to these things. We could hardly go without our device. I think it's in this same book. He talked about, I believe it's in South Korea. They have over 400. They have over 400 digital detox centers in South Korea. Can you imagine? And they're detoxing children as young as 3 years old. That's astonishing. It's astonishing to me. In order to restore margin in your life, give God control of your time. Ask God to help you prioritize the things that are most important. Secondly, this evening, the second thing is you must realize that you can't do everything. In order to restore margin in your life, you cannot do everything. Sometimes the answer is no. There will always be more to do. There will always be more laundry to wash. There will always be another meal to cook. There will always be more people that need to hear the gospel. There will always be another person that needs encouragement. And unfortunately, yes, there will always be another bill to pay. But we have limitations. You have limitations. We cannot be and do all things for all people. We have physical limitations. We have emotional limitations. And we even have mental limitations. Oh, there's this big hype on positive thinking, and I'm all about positive thinking. I think it's a good thing, but positive thinking will not supersede your limitations. It will not supersede your limitations. You have limits. You cannot do everything. And so in order to restore margin in your life, you will need to say no to some things, to protect the things that are most important. And you need to realize this evening that you have limits. Number three, give yourself permission to rest. Give yourself permission to rest. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus said unto them, meaning the disciples, he said to his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Yes, I believe that even Jesus knew the importance of pulling the plug and saying, that's enough. Let's go rest for a while. Let's go out for some dinner and talk about the day. I think it's scriptural. I think that's okay. Give yourself permission to rest. But here's the thing. Too many people are too busy doing the wrong thing, and then they take a break from the things that are most important, like going to church, going to prayer meeting, spending time with God. We cannot neglect the things that are most important. But I believe this evening that God mandates margin in the Bible. He mandates rest. God actually established one day a week for us to rest, for some margin, so that our batteries could be recharged. He gave us a Sabbath day to rest. That's why it was established. Allow yourself to take a break once in a while. The world won't fall apart if you take off work for a day or even for a week. It's going to be okay. Give yourself permission to rest. Jesus told his disciples at a given time to go to a desert place and rest. And fourthly, put margin in your schedule. I encourage you to put margin in your schedule daily. Some time ago, my wife and I, we made an appointed time every morning where we would sit together for 15 minutes and we would drink coffee together. We'd share about our devotional time and we'd talk about the things of the day. We planned a separate time that we would do that. And it's amazing to me how often we need to reset that. Just probably in the last 3 months, I would say, we reestablished that time. You know what? Every morning we need to get up and we need to spend time together. It's important, folks. It's important. But you know what? I'd probably have to say that we need to probably brush up on that a little bit. It's amazing. Things come into your life and the devil tries to snuff that out. And so it's important. Put margin in your schedule daily. I encourage you to do that. Be potential about scheduling some margin in your life. And finally, and in closing, Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This evening, I wonder, are you carrying a load that is too much for you to carry? I don't think that Jesus desires us to be burdened under too heavy of a load. And I believe probably this evening that some of you probably wish more time for your spouse. Wish for more time with your spouse. And then I think there's probably some young people sitting here that are probably longing for more time with mom and dad. And I want to encourage you this evening to be potential about scheduling that time for your family. It's so important. It's so important. Consider how you are using your time. God told us to redeem the time that he gives us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, this evening we do pause before you. We recognize that we do live in a busy world. It seems like there are so many things that want to distract us from doing what you want us to do. And it's so easy to go after our own selfish ambitions. And you know what? Sometimes we even get caught up doing good things. And sometimes we maybe neglect the most important things. Yes, we can get caught up in doing good things. But actually, Lord, we're neglecting the most important. God, we love you. I pray that you would challenge us, challenge my heart. God, to take the time that is necessary for my family, my wife, children, they long for crying out for our attention, and help us to do that. I pray for each person here that as we leave this place, we would understand the importance of using our time wisely. Help us to restore balance to our busy lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't think I'm going to give an invitation this evening. I think I'll let that be. Certainly, the invitation is always open. If you feel like God is calling you or Always speak to someone. God is always there, and he's waiting for us to come. And talk to your spouse when you go home. Talk to your parents. I encourage you to do that. Let's stand, and we'll sing a closing song, shall we?